We're dropping stuff. Woo, good morning. Welcome to the, what happened there? Welcome to the Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Sorry, Erica.
I know, you almost hit me.
I didn't mean to, like my little thing here.
Mercy.
Joining us today from the Pikes Peak Workforce Center, very important people, business relations specialist Erica Romero is here. What? Hello, Erica.
Hello, good morning.
And Becca Tine, communications manager, Pikes Peak Workforce Center is here. Hello, Becca.
Good morning, Renee.
Sorry, guys, I don't know what happened with my little thing there, my little...
Okay, well, you're on probation now. You just need to stay calm for the rest of the show.
That was kind
of
odd.
We won't hold it against you.
I don't know. It just kind of collapsed there. So sorry about that. Okay, so we are excited. As you guys know, we have been doing a series with the Pikes Peak Workforce Center all year with great information from, you know, how to build a great resume, interviews, LinkedIn, social media. I mean, I can't cover everything we've covered because we've covered a lot.
Yes, we have.
But guess what? Today we're shifting the gears.
Well, yes.
We're completely shifting the gears.
We're
actually going to talk about employers.
Yes.
Businesses and what they can do.
Companies and how to attract the prime right candidates to your business.
And I mean, I think a lot of business owners right now they need people. They want to hire people. But we also have the job seekers that are saying, they're not hiring me. They're not.
Even though I'm more than qualified.
Yes.
So where, Erica, where is this breakdown? Is that a good word for it?
Yeah.
Breakdown happening between candidates and employers.
So I think the big thing has been the traditional ways of hiring people have been through pedigree hiring. So there are certain requirements that job seekers need to have in order to even apply for a position. But what we're noticing is that is eliminating most of your workforce.
Wow.
Because only 40% of Coloradans actually have a degree.
So this is more skills-based, obviously.
Yes. So what we're really looking at, instead of looking at that traditional way of posting jobs, is kind of rethinking about what does this job really need and what skills does this position really utilize on a day-to-day basis.
Now, this is not, we just need to put that disclaimer out there.
Yes.
This does not, Erica Wright, say no. Not saying a degree is not good.
No, and there's going to be some positions that you're always going to need an educational element to it. So I don't want my doctor to not have a doctorate degree.
Yeah.
And the same thing is you want maybe your electrician to have certain certifications.
Yeah.
But we also know there employers are looking for soft skills. They're looking for critical thinking. They're looking at multitasking. So there's a lot of different things that you could look at. And how much do people learn on the job?
Now, let's talk about soft skills, because didn't the Pikes Peak Workforce Center just start offering a workshop on developing soft skills?
Workplace Excellence Series. Well, it starts in September, actually, September 10th.
Mm-hmm. To help work with the soft skills.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's another little tool in your belt. So then let's talk about, I mean, there's so much information here, Erica.
Mm-hmm. There really is.
So what should we start with, like helping businesses understand skills-based hiring? For some employers and businesses, is that just kind of a new kind of way of thinking?
It's a new way of thinking. So I think it's removing credentials when it applies. So, I mean, like I said, there's going to be some positions that you need to have certifications, degrees, but really looking at the position on a day-to-day basis and seeing, do they need this credential or do they not? The other things is really looking at what competencies that job needs and being more specific about it. Is it a required competency or is it a preferred competency?
So
I think really identifying is what do you have to have when you walk in the door and what's preferred and that you can learn. And what that will really do is help reduce a lot of bias that's in some of these job descriptions, because you're really looking at what does this person need to be successful.
So literally like making a list and breaking it down.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that
mm-hmm.
could really help. And we were talking before we even came on today, and the available jobs in our region, our area, thousands.
Yes, we have about 12,000 open jobs right now in the Pikes Peak region.
Now, this is not saying all of them, but could some of these possibly positions, of course, we haven't looked at the, you know, job descriptions, mm-hmm. candidates, what they're looking for. But do you think some of these, and we've heard, you guys hear it too, that they're having a hard time filling some of these positions, could changing to more of a skills-based kind of approach maybe help if they're doing a more traditional, I'm calling it traditional, but approach to try and fill jobs?
So I think with that, like, you just need to be really careful, because when you're eliminating your talent pool, you're going to have a harder and harder time filling it. But then you also have to look at, are you offer, what's your pay looking like compared to what you're asking for?
Right.
So sometimes people will want a degree and then it's a minimum wage position. So thinking
which doesn't equate.
No, it doesn't.
And we kind of see that sometimes, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And do we have time to go into a specific example?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do a specific example.
So I think it's fascinating with, for instance, in Colorado, executive assistants currently working in the job, 20% of them have a degree.
For executive assistants.
Executive assistants. But when you look at the job postings for executive assistants, 76% of them require a degree. So there is a huge disconnect there that all of the people in this position, most of them don't have a degree and they're doing just fine at their jobs. But yet when somebody goes to hire, it's just sort of a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, we want somebody to have a bachelor's degree for this. When actually you need things like ability to multitask, responsibility, organization, able to learn new software.
I was going
to
say software.
And great people skills. Those are going to be far more important for an executive assistant than a bachelor's
degree. So you're saying only currently of the executive assistant positions, only 20%
actually have
a degree. A bachelor's is what, but 76% job postings are
requiring
it.
So that's an example of pedigree-based job postings, and Erica is teaching employers how to really look at those job postings and whether, okay, if we don't need a degree, then let's list specifically what we do need.
Well, and like you had mentioned, some of the salaries and pay for some of these, because they're going, even though they're requiring a bachelor's degree, you're not meeting a salary, right? Is that right?
That is correct.
But somebody who, say, has been doing this kind of work for 10, 15 years, then they may not turn around and apply for this because...
Exactly. When they'd be highly qualified for it.
Highly qualified. So obviously there is a void that is happening with some of these job descriptions between employers and qualified candidates.
And again, only 40% of people have a degree in Colorado. So that means 60% of people aren't going to apply for that position. So that already reduces your applicant pool by 60% as soon as you put a degree qualification on a position.
That's crazy. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a kind of a deeper look into talent loss when you kind of just stick with pedigree hiring, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll have a lot more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're continuing our series with Pikes Peak Workforce Center, but we are shifting gears. Today we are looking at companies and businesses that are doing hiring and kind of a reevaluation of how you're hiring. And joining me is Business Relations Specialist Erica Romero and Communications Manager Becca Tan. And this whole concept really between skills-based hiring and pedigree hiring may be a completely new kind of thought process for some employers. Right.
Absolutely. And Michigan State University just did a study that found that when you do skill-based hiring, that you're actually 5 times more successful
in finding candidates.
In finding the right candidate, not just candidates,
the right candidates. Okay.
So something really cool that we can use as an example is the Colorado Department of Health was seeing massive turnover and they were having a lot of struggle finding people to fill a call center position. So what they did is they actually changed to a skill-based job posting. So they saw vacancy rates as high as 35%. So since they've changed to skill-based hiring, it's less than 10% now.
Oh my goodness.
That's a huge drop.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And that's really huge. And it's because what that skill-based hiring job description did is give a clearer picture
of exactly what this candidate needs to be able to do.
What they need to be doing and what they're going to be doing well in the position as well. So there's not that fuzzy gray area of, well, this is what it kind of says I do in my job description, but when I actually go in there, it's my other task is needed.
Those are kind of stuffed down at the bottom, right?
It is.
And when you go into a job description and you're like, wait, what does this job do?
Yeah, it should really reflect what you're doing
specifically
on a daily basis.
Right.
It shouldn't be a big shock once you start the job because that contributes to high turnover rates.
And they were actually seeing about 60% of their calls getting dropped. So people hanging up on them.
Because they did not have the right
candidates. Because they didn't have the right people. So now they're seeing it go down to less than 8%.
Whoa. From a 60% call drop rate.
That's fantastic.
To below 8%.
Yes. Because again, they had the right people with the right skills knowing exactly what the expectations were. And again, that's impacting their culture. It's impacting their customer. And they're seeing those better results because it's a clearer picture for everybody involved, for the employer and for the actual applicant as well.
Now, we also, I think, Erica, we need to talk on some of the talent loss, because we've talked about, I mean, that huge impact that it has, but also the talent loss. If some companies and organizations, businesses stay with more of a pedigree approach, the loss is incredible if they're not shifting their kind of job description and application process, right?
Yeah, so there's about 3 million people who are in the labor force in Colorado right now. So we're going to tack on, I need a degree. So that drops it down to only 1.1 million people. So again, you've already lost
your possible mm-hmm. candidates in half.
Yep. And then you have just some natural bias that are in job descriptions. That's going to be there. So then that cuts it by another 30%. So wow. now you're wow. at 800,000 people. Then you're going to eliminate even more. Maybe we're going to say an HR position. So that they don't have the experience. So that eliminates 93%. So now you're down to only 54,000 people. Then you have to think about, these are people that are currently in the labor market, not looking for jobs. So you also have to think there's people that are currently employed. So that discounts 72% people of that. So in the state of Colorado, for an HR position, you're looking at only 39,000 people.
Wow. So
you didn't even put a specific degree. So you didn't say that you wanted a business degree. You didn't put that you wanted a HR certification or anything like that. So that's also hoping that these people are wanting to look for a job. And this is the whole entire state of Colorado.
That's unbelievable. So you just basically went, you're left with a fraction. Right?
Yeah, only 1.3% on average is what you get left with when you just do traditional pedigree job descriptions.
That's incredible. Now, have you guys started seeing, and we're going to talk about how employers and businesses obviously can reach out and understand this whole, but now that there's that shift, and again, in no way, shape, or form, we're clarifying, are we saying degrees are not a good thing?
No.
At all. But Are you starting to see some employers and businesses go, okay, like preferred, I'm just trying to think of how they might say it, preferred a degree in biology, right, or mm-hmm. whatever, or maybe biology wasn't the right.
No, probably not a good one.
Probably not the best one example.
Sociology. I don't know. Sociology or 7 years experience.
Let's go communications. Let's go there, right?
Oh, wow. You're just trying to take this too close to home. Technically, my degree's in English. So. Right.
Oh, there you go. So say like a degree in communications or 7 years experience. Are you starting to kind of see a split that employers are trying to do?
We are starting to see it slightly start to change. I think it's a lot of employers that are not filling those positions, so they're kind of being a little bit more open.
Okay.
But when you think about the easiest way to slim down your candidate pool is just to do the kind of like that checkbox method of, do they have a degree? No. Okay, that puts them in the no
pile. Automatically, the system just bunk out.
Yeah, and a lot of companies are using ATSs. So an applicant tracking system. So a person may not even see that this person has these skills because they're looking off those different kind of checkmark boxes. But some companies are actually looking at their ATSs and kind of flipping them around a little bit so they can actually identify more skill-based hiring.
So they're not just completely going on what the ATS is saying. So, I mean, it's helping narrow down, but they're actually looking at it going, I need to change my parameters. Okay, yes. That's perfect. Okay, oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about, you guys. Okay, so when we come back, we are going to talk about how a skills-based hiring can help. And then also, I'm assuming, of course, that you guys offer stuff for employers and businesses.
We sure do.
I mean, it's amazing, right?
And it's all free.
It's all free. Okay, so we're going to talk more about that with Erica Romero and Becca Tan when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.
Thanks, Renee.
Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Oh, we have so much information to cover today, and we can't cover it all. But the great thing is, guess what, employers, businesses, you can connect with the Pikes Peak Workforce Center and learn all of what we're talking. And we're barely scratching the surface, right?
Yes, we'll go into a lot more detail. And we actually are going to have a workshop
Four businesses.
Four businesses on September 17th from 10 to 12 at the Pikes Peak Workforce Center. And that's just going to go over job postings.
That's just the job posting just portion.
But then we'll actually go over interviewing on skills as well afternoon from 1 to 3 that day as well.
So that's Tuesday, September 17th.
Tuesday, September 17th. Now, as we always like to say, it's
Free.
Mm-hmm. How do folks get registered? Is it the same way if you're registering, say, for the resume writing course, or is it different? Do businesses need to reach out, Erica, say to you? How do
they can always reach out to me, but if you actually just visit our website, there is an employer link, and it is one of our events that we're hosting for employers.
Okay, so from Tuesday, September 17th, 10 to noon, is the job posting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Skills-based jobs posting.
And then the 1 to 3 is the
skills-based interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So go get registered. Limited seating?
There is limited seating.
Okay. Yes. So go now.
No, finish listening to the show first.
And then go. Or you could listen and go now, ppwfc.org at the same time. Multitasking.
Yes.
She's good. She knows who we are.
Okay, so let's talk about, and you were telling me in a local example of a local company that did go to the skills base, having a very hard time filling some positions, went to skills base, and wha-bam.
Well,
look at that. It's incredible. So mm-hmm. let's talk about and we kind of touched on it, the absolute benefits of skills-based hiring.
Yeah, so the big thing is going to be you're going to have 5 times better luck selecting candidates. So you're going to have a better talent pool. And it's actually going to reduce the vacancy rate that you have as an employer. Because a lot of employers right now are having higher vacancy rates in open positions where the positions are just sitting there open.
Because
they're not finding the right person for it. And it's also going to reduce the time that it takes to hire somebody. Because right now some of these positions are open for, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months. Skill-based hiring helps reduce that by 5 times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And think about that from a job seeker point of view, too. I mean, they want to get hired. They're ready to work. But if it's taking months for that to get kind of figured out, I mean, they're going to get maybe discouraged or join your competition who's maybe moving a week faster than you.
I would imagine with some of these longer, and we do know that some of these jobs require a very long process, which is completely understandable. But some of them, again, are taking probably months that don't need to.
Oh, goodness, yeah. It shouldn't be months.
Yeah, some of them take months.
And they're going to lose good candidates.
And they are going to lose good candidates, aren't they, if that takes that long to get in contact and stuff.
And then when you have the right person for a position, you're going to see increased staff performance as well. You're going to see better results by having that right person there.
Right. Like we've talked about, what was it, Colorado Department of Human Health. Woo, look at the changes they had.
It was very drastic. And yeah. I think a lot of people right now are, I have positions, I just don't have the people. And there are a lot of people are like, oh, the unemployment rate is so low. But there's still a lot of people out there looking, maybe looking to shift careers.
And we were kind of, and I want to touch on that, Erica, if you don't mind, we were kind of talking about this in a break. Because maybe somebody does want to shift careers, but they may not know the best way to do that. And maybe more skills-based hiring, they could go, I think we were using the example of, say, a school teacher. I mean, that's what we kind of grabbed, right? Look, yeah. They're speaking every day, right? And then maybe this job is asking for public speaking, mm-hmm. right? So that's an incredible transferable skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we kind of look at competencies kind of in two ways. There's occupational competencies, and then foundational competencies. So when you think of occupational competencies, those are very specific to specific industries. So coding is specific to working with software and hardware.
Right.
So if you're thinking about patient care, that's specific to the healthcare occupation.
Right, right.
Where our foundational skills are definitely those transferable skills that can go industry to industry.
They can be, okay.
And it's really hard to hire people for foundational skills because that's something we'll talk about in the interviewing portion of it, is somebody says, oh yeah, I totally have great public speaking. Well, how do you assess that? Especially from
Good
an application.
Point. Yeah.
But just thinking about when you're looking for that skill of public speaking, like we made mention of the teacher, that teacher is speaking every single day, to you know, who knows what age they're speaking to. So they might be an actual perfect person for an executive position, but they may not even apply because that's not being kind of
listed as a skilled. Okay. Does that make, okay. I mean, it's a big shift in kind of the thought process, isn't it? So understanding, and that's why you help with the job descriptions and in the workshops, right? Helping mm-hmm. employers understand how to put these jobs. Does it also help employers understand, like, okay, you can go on just off of this and not
yes.
just, I mean.
They literally need to make a list. That will help them. Yeah. What is required? So another example of a foundational skill is critical thinking.
Yeah.
And so does this job require this? Okay, then let's put that on there. That could be far more important than knowing a specific software. You see that a lot on job descriptions, that they have to have worked with a certain software. Well, people who are good at learning quickly and picking up new software, they can learn that skill. But so what is really important? Well, it turns out, okay, for this particular position, critical thinking is very important. Fine, we'll teach them the software after we hire them.
Okay.
And a lot of people see that in HR professionals because right. there's different applicant tracking systems
correct.
That different companies
yeah.
use. Well, if you know one, you more than likely can figure out how to use those other ones. But if you're saying you have to know this specific one,
software,
they're going to be like, oh, I don't know it, so I'm not going to apply
so
for
they
it.
Just right.
So
they just
eliminated a huge part of their talent pool.
Interesting. Talent pool. Yeah, and I was just thinking about that, you know, doing digital work. I was thinking CRMs or content management,
right.
excuse me, CMS, the same thing. Like,
same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't list the specific content management system.
Right. Just say content management system.
Yeah,
but even then, some, you know,
yeah.
people can learn that without ever having worked in it before.
So let's talk about required versus preferred. Now, we kind of touched on this before we went to the break, and I asked Erica if you're seeing some employers kind of go to preferred, maybe a four-year degree in whatever, or 7 years experience, and then the required it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I explaining myself okay, kind of?
Well, and I think the thing is with the required is that's your deal breaker. You need to have that
Those
person
skills.
Know that the day they walk in.
Or else the system is going to be bunked. That's in the
exactly.
system. You don't have that, you're out.
Exactly.
Okay.
So preferred is something that it's just going to help and benefit the job. So a common example is Spanish. You know, if you have a customer base that speaks some Spanish, that could be a preferred competency that you speak Spanish.
Right.
Is it required to do your job every single day? No. But is it going to help you better your job and maybe help that business a little bit more? But again, if you put it as a required competency, again, you're eliminating
a lot of
people.
Okay. So it's kind of very important for everybody to kind of look over and go, is that an absolute requirement? Is it helpful?
Right. And I think that's one thing that employers need to look at is when it's a preferred skill, it's something that can they learn this skill over time to make them better at the job? Okay, then that's a preferred skill.
And somebody could start the job without having
exactly,
that, right?
Right, as opposed to what Erica was saying, a required skill is as she said, a
deal breaker.
You have to have that skill on day one going in, but if there's some other skill that you can learn over a month or two or 3 months, and then that will enhance job performance, then that needs to be listed under preferred, not required.
Okay, so hold that thought. Erica had this like, I got something to say. Hold that thought, Erica. We got to take a break. We'll have more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Business relations specialist Erica Romero is here and communications manager Becca Tan from Pikes Peak Workforce Center. And we were just talking about kind of going between does preferred and required skills. And I didn't have a chance to ask you, Erica, before we went to the break. Are sometimes some employers, maybe not knowing, moving a preferred skill into the required skill and not really realizing, am I making sense? Kind of like, it's really not required for this job, but I sure would like to, oh, that's going in required.
We always joke about like, somebody wants that unicorn. They want
yes.
somebody who can
okay.
do everything the minute they walk into that door. But when we think about onboarding and training, how much do you really learn hands-on and being in that company, being in that culture, learning their ways of doing things? A lot of that is those preferred competencies of being able to learn on the job. where the required competencies are, you know, maybe you'd need to have coordination. So you need to coordinate with multiple departments. You can't really teach coordination, but you could be like a preferred competency could maybe be drawing a blank.
People skills or, mm-hmm. you know, communication skills or something that maybe aren't completely
maybe
required.
Utilizing Outlook because maybe you went from Outlook to a different website.
Right.
Different things like that. That's something you can learn on there. And it does. It's kind of sometimes hard for employers. And I mean, I think it's hard for everybody to really identify this is what the job really needs. So a really good example is a company that's a manufacturer in northern Colorado. Their HR actually spent a day with every single position so she could look to see what is that person really doing day to day. So she made a list of all of that activities and what was really needed for it. And I mean, one of the required competencies was fine motor skills because they were working hands-on with a machine that needed fine detail. But that was something that they came out to is attention to detail. So fine motor skills, attention to detail. But did they need to know that machine specifically? No, it was something that was specific to their company. So that could be a preferred skill of do you have knowledge of that system?
Particular system. Well, and I think it's really interesting, too. You brought up, Erica, about, you know, the skills that they learn. I would imagine that once they find the person with the required skills, wouldn't they prefer to have them train them there for their specific?
I mean, you would think.
You would think. Because you mentioned the unicorn. I'm going to find the unicorn.
Yeah.
Not possible. Maybe once
you
in
need
every,
to make your unicorn.
You need to make your unicorn,
and
right?
I think that's the big thing is
yeah.
you know, how much can you teach somebody and get them to where you want them to be for your company? And I think the job description is that first step in attracting the talent that you need.
Yeah.
So again, if we're self-eliminating and we're having a lot of bias and some different things that are counting people out, it makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's frustrating for the business because
you're
a business owner. You need somebody there. You need somebody working. How are you going to increase your sales if you don't have somebody there with you?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, we've just barely scratched the surface. I really hope, though, that today it's been a fantastic conversation. And I really hope that some businesses and companies and organizations, I mean, from what we've been talking about in the, I mean, some big time companies have kind of been reaching out after, you know, this whole workshop has started coming out going, help us.
Yes.
We are not getting the people we need. We are not filling these positions. And now you guys are offering this.
Absolutely. And the workshop's very practical. It'll walk businesses through understanding skills-based hiring and then identifying the competencies specific to your job posting and then literally how to write a skills-based job posting. It goes through examples. It's really cool to see the pedigree job posting versus a skills-based. And strangely, it actually elevates the job posting because it's more specific. And then people realize, oh, yes, I have these skills.
I can actually do this.
And they get more excited about it. They're more apt to apply when they see they have specific skills necessary for the job rather than some pedigrees or certifications.
And guess what? Your candidacy pool just went boom, right?
And the whole state of Colorado is really looking at skillful as kind of a new model of how we can really increase our workforce and make it beneficial for the businesses and for the job seekers. They actually just started a branch in Idaho. So they're actually doing skillful in Idaho as well.
Are they?
So, I mean, people are seeing the benefit of this and we're starting to see other states wanting to get in on it.
Get on this kind of obviously hiring. Okay, so I know for some business owners, some companies, some corporations, employers, this whole thing might be like, oh, wait. It's okay.
It is okay because there's a lot of tools.
Yes.
So you would have us at the Pikes Peak Workforce Center mm-hmm. that can work one-on-one with you. We have a really strong partnership with Skillful. So he will actually come and do one-on-one meetings.
If you need to set that up.
If you needed to set that up. And then he can go over with HRs because that's the big thing is really looking at, you know, as the business owners, do you have the buy-in? But do your HRs and recruiters also have the buy-in as well and seeing the benefit of it?
Yeah.
Because it is. It's a whole system that we need to look at and getting the right people there to make those changes. So I know he's gone to organizations and talked to just their specific hiring departments. So there's a lot of different options that we can help. And there's also online tools, too.
That they can access with you guys. So
we give all these secrets away in the workshop.
I was going to say, so let's, and it sounds like the workshop could even just be a great starting point. So say maybe Absolutely. You're an HR director or something going, okay, we're not having luck filling these. I'm going to get the workshop. So let's get the workshop details out Tuesday, September 17th. I would just plan the whole day. How's that? No, okay, starting at 10 to noon.
10 to 3.
Yeah, 10 to 3. So 10 to noon is the jobs posting, writing a yep. skills-based job post. And then 1 to 3 is the
interviewing based on skills.
Perfect. And then how do they register for this free?
Go to PPWFC.org
yeah.
and go to the employers tab.
That's perfect. And it sounds like you guys are planning on starting to add this like monthly.
Yes, every month.
Kind of expanding on this.
That third Tuesday of every month.
Yes.
Perfect. At the Pikes Peak Workforce Center.
You guys, we barely scratched the surface. I know, Erica. I know. We kind of scratched the surface, right?
It's just a little teaser.
Right. So get registered for the workshop now. Go now.
PPWFC.org.
Don't wait. Perfect. Don't wait. Don't wait. Go now.
And have a great day, too.
Yes. Erica, Becca, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
I truly appreciate it. And then coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it's Business Edition on KRDO News Radio.